Okay, well, we're all, Keith and Jan and Marin and Katrina, so Katrina, you can start.
Yeah, hello, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Sorry that Sokol and Bart could not make it today. So, hello, and well, let's start. There was a short summary from me, an update. So far we discussed, tried to go through all the documents, all the rules we have for CCNSO. Well, they look a bit messy at the moment, but Bart and I will try to figure out how to solve the current problem with the documents. Bart knows everything, every detail in every document. I'm also trying to learn and find out where in our documents we have any reference to elections and voting. As we discussed during our last call, we have this, we have rules adopted in 2004, and it was really hard to change them. The request, there's like a requirement to have 66% of votes proving the changes. But when we started analyzing in more detail, we discovered that actually the rules do not request, do not require us to have 66% of all the members to vote in favor of the change. It's just like they say that you can have voting 66% of those who vote must vote in favor of the change, not 66% of all the members. So it makes changes possible if, in case we decide to change anything in the rules. So that's just about the background information about the work we did between the calls. So now I think we'll go forward with our action items, which you probably could see in a notes sent to you. So first of all, it's the first action was, as you remember, we had this list of issues we have with the current voting process. And during last call, we decided that the biggest problem is with primary contacts. So we decided that between the calls, you have closer look at the current currently identified problems and maybe identify some more. If not, let's just set priorities for these current topics. Here in Adobe Room, you can see, so I tried to put them all here. And at the moment, I just rearrange them according to priorities as I see them. And I'll start with the bottom three issues. They look like, those are issues, but they are like complementary like issues that come with other main problems. So the way I see them, the first three are the real issues, let's say, the real issues which cause some other issues, like the current system is inefficient and manual process of ballot counting. What do you think about these issues and, well, what are your ideas?
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, I think they are probably the biggest issues. However, I'm just involved with an ISOC situation of using electronic voting where the system's gone crazy on us. So sometimes email voting and people actually intervening is quite important as well. I'm not quite sure of the third thing, the no archive. Is this the lack of an audit trail or the lack of a verification system, or why do we see it as a problem that we don't archive?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's because people cannot check their votes. Well, but that goes together with transparency. And yes, just to see what happened before.
Okay. We can reconsider
it.
I agree. These are the significant issues. The significant solutions could be incredibly expensive. But I guess that's not our problem. Our problem is to point out the issues, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. We're not going to make a bulletproof system for voting, especially electronic voting. But we can make it easier and for our members and a lot easier for our secretariat.
Yep.
And more transparent and easier to track.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, no, I think this catches the big three anyway.
Go ahead, Yangam.
Tina, I just have a question. When you say no archive, does it mean that there is no actual record of how everyone voted?
If you look at the full document, bullet point 6, the current system does not provide an archive of previous voting easily accessible to all CCNSO members. I just wrote it no archive just to make it shorter here. Yeah, but
In a way, sorry, there could be an archive as I know the GNSO, as I said, the ballot system we currently have would actually be quite good if it worked, but it's everyone gets a number, and then it says what the number voted for. So everyone will, if they know their own number, they can actually check, you know, if it was correctly counted for and so forth. So I guess that's how it could be archived. But that requires that everyone will know what number they voted with. So it's not, it doesn't say which registry voted for what. It just says what number voted for what. And that makes it very transparent because no one knows who has that number except those who know that their own number. So that is actually how the current system works. It's just that it doesn't work for us because we have a problem with the primary contact.
There are two things. First, that everyone who casted a vote, they must be able to verify if their vote has been counted correctly. That's one thing. And the other thing, that anyone must be able to go to the full list and without seeing a particular registry, just to make sure that all the votes have been counted correctly.
So my question is then, anyone who knows their number can actually check how their vote was counted, but unless they know the numbers of other CCs, then they will not know how other CCs will voted. But besides that, it actually allows for people to have an idea of how people voted, right?
The way the GNSO is doing that, they don't have a report in the way we have a report where we, you know, write down everything that happened, because they don't have all these things happening. The only thing they do is they send out an email, and in this email they just publish a list which is automatically generated by their ballot system and which says this number voted this number voted that, and then it, you know, sums up how many people voted and who voted for him, whom, what number for whom, and you know, the end results. So it's very easy because it's all automated. and it's still anonymous. And but yes, people can control that. Yes, this person actually received this and this number of votes and so on. So it is actually quite good if it would work for us, but it doesn't.
Youngam, any more questions, or is
yeah.
it? Okay.
No, that was my question. So, actually, it is actually in a way transparent in that people can see how certain numbers have voted, but the information regarding CC has which number is not public, and I think that's
the reason for why we cannot do this is that at every election it's at least, I don't know, five or six voters who either claim they did not receive the ballot, or I don't know, for various reasons they cannot use the ballot system, and then to make it possible for them to vote at all, I have to accept direct email votes. I accept it from the primary contact address that we have listed, alternatively IANA administrative contact address, and I receive direct email votes from them, but then I cannot publish the list because it doesn't sum up, because, you know, I could publish a list of a few numbers who voted for that, but then I would have five or six that I could not publish, so it wouldn't really sum up. And this is our problem, that we cannot use the system because there's always some problem with the primary contact.
I see.
Yes, and the way I understand it, those ballots, they are so secret that Gabby does not know the exact ballot number, so she cannot match emails with...
For those who where there's no problem, I can see I can see who voted and I can see their number as well. But where problems are, where people claim they did not receive the ballot, I don't know the numbers. I cannot track that in any way.
Could that mean that someone could actually vote twice? They could have voted properly, said they didn't vote properly, and submit you an email vote as well.
No, because today, the way it works today is that if someone votes, I receive two emails. One is an email where I can see who voted with a number, and one is it comes almost at the same time. It's just, you know, it's just a few seconds between the emails. And then I can see which number voted. So I know that, and I can just match the two numbers, and I see it's the same vote. So I can control this is the same voter. And then, of course, I can, in cases where... I will not allow them to do an email vote then. So today there's no way to vote twice.
Yeah,
but again, it's manual process.
Oh, sorry?
It's a manual process, so you must...
It is manual, yes, absolutely. As I said, there is actually a way, if it wasn't manual... keeping track as the vote come in, but there is a way... which we actually never tried it, but I know that the technical department can just ask the system to produce a report, just, you know, so that I don't even have to count who voted for whom. And that's the way the GNSO do it. They don't track it. They just, you know, ask for the report at the end, which is very convenient, but I cannot do it because we have so much problems with the primary contact.
So part of our problem in that case is that we have these thresholds of votes that we need to get to. So you want every last vote more to count towards the threshold than necessarily who they're voting for. So you could argue that if you got rid of the threshold, the fact that some people couldn't vote is less an issue for the result or for the CCNSO, and more an issue for the individual CCTLD who should be looking after their database entry better.
That could be an argument, but I don't know how sensitive, you know, people are, because they often, you know, blame us, or I don't know. It's
exactly.
And in some cases, in some cases I can actually understand them, because there has been, there was a mess in the registry. Some people took over, had no information or clue, or, they didn't know they had to update it and haven't been following. I can understand them. Or as you, Keith, mentioned, that some people are not really interested in what's going on. So even if I'm sending out 100 emails, please check your primary contact, they will not do it because they're not really interested. So I can understand that. And I mean, some people can be a bit angry if their vote doesn't get counted, especially if there's a one or two votes difference between who won the elections and who didn't. So
I would say that those who are not interested and who do not vote, we don't care about them. But if those who really want to vote and they just want to get this email, but for some reason they do not get it, I think they could just start blaming, secretariat or the council or whoever for trying to influence the outcome of elections, not sending them ballots and things like that. I think
I think it would be quite nice for me just to have, not to need to worry about that. And even today, we very often get emails saying, I didn't receive the ballot, but we can do technical checks and we see that they did receive the ballots, and I can just tell them, you did receive the ballot, here's the, technical report about how it was, how your server took it, but still...
Yeah, but because a server took it doesn't mean...
it could have got caught by a spam filter or I don't know, but it's just that's what we can do at the moment. I cannot do anymore.
To what Katrina was saying, I don't think we're quite on the same page, because there is an issue about people not voting. I mean, once you're a member, you're voting for various things, and... there is a requirement for a threshold. For example, in the Asia Pacific last round of the election, there had to be 21 votes from the 40 members in order to get a result. So it was actually important that people voted, and that's my issue about the threshold, is that if you're pushing people to vote, you might be getting prejudiced results because they don't really care who they're voting for or what they're voting for. They're just getting rid of this hassle of Gabby hassling them on the phone or hassling them by email saying vote. There is this idea in my mind that if you got rid of the threshold, then the people who actually care passionately about the CCNSO will vote, and if they all vote promptly and efficiently, then they'll be able to audit that vote correctly, because it's not an email vote. And we don't care about the people who don't really care about voting.
I think that we are on the same page. I agree with you. Threshold is a problem. What I said that if people do not vote, that is their problem. But if people want to vote, it wouldn't be good for us to say that this is your problem, you didn't receive the ballot. So if they want to vote and they are interested in participating, we should help them to do that. Those who don't care, I agree with you, that's their problem, and we should not worry about them. And definitely we do not need the threshold. So I think we are on the same page.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Gabby?
Yes? Yeah.
I have a question about how... when you send the ballots, you would send them to the admin contact of the CCs that have applied for membership, right? So, that should actually serve as a basis for, giving the ground as to the fact that you have sent them the votes.
Well, the vote is always sent to what we in our CCNSO database have listed as primary contact, which is not always the administrative contact, which is in the IANA database. But the only thing that we do in some cases, someone has left the registry and the registry for some reason hasn't updated the data or whatever, and we know, and then I say, okay, you can either change quickly your primary contact according to our procedures. We have special procedures how you're allowed to change your primary contact. Or we can accept a direct email vote from the email address that's listed in the IANA database as administrative contact. That's how we allow it. But we don't automatically send. It's very often the same, but it's not always the same.
I see. So it's whatever address the CCs give as the primary contact, right?
Yes, and that's. You know, and that does not always, it's not always the same as in the IANA database.
Right,
and again, that's a problem because many people think that they change something in the IANA database and they think that it's automatically changed with us as well.
Right.
In fact, a very live example of that was during the last election where one of the Pacific Island countries, their voting contact in the CCNSO had actually left 2 years before, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's nothing unusual. That's that situation we have all the time.
Sort of shows.
So okay, part of the problem of part of the problem of some CCs claiming that they have not received the ballots is based on the fact that the admin contact and the primary contact are not the same.
Not only that,
because
probably spam filters or something else.
Because I mean, from a CC point of view, the admin contact is important, and the primary contact is also important, but sometimes they may confuse. The two.
What can I say? Sometimes we prefer to have not the generic email address and as the primary contact because, but it's and it's up to every registry what they decide to have there. But
well, just as we discussed last time, the biggest issue is with the primary contact, and so probably that's the issue we have to address first. Youngam, I see you're not on Adobe Room. Anything happened? Can you return?
I guess I was cut off. I will try to get back on.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So is everything clear now about these lists and priorities and topics?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone see any other issues with the current system? Or we just... put these as the main and go on. Any additional comments? Okay, if not, I will summarize this and send it again to the list so you can just review and comment later. So now let's go to the action point 2. It's about Secretariat contacting ICANN's tech team about possibilities for CCNSO members to change or at least to have access to the primary contact data they have for their particular CCTLD. Well, unfortunately, the response is not very, promising.
Substantial.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they don't have... time, at least at the moment, nor time, nor resources, nor probably any wish to solve this issue. So we must look into other possibilities. Meanwhile, Gabi tried to summarize data we have currently in the database about the primary contact. Not primary contact, data we have about members. So this could be the starting point for us to start maybe even drafting requirements for the system, what we want from the system, what information we want in there. I think probably we could also add some other URLs, for example, to the documents like rules or other things, marketing materials of the... But that's another issue.
Can I just quickly,
yep.
Katrina, we do have this profile page, which is, you know, if you want,
I know,
whatever.
Okay.
So that's maybe not to, maybe we should distinguish that from the database.
Yes, but we. The thing is that we can, my idea is, since we, if we start planning a database, we can have all this information here and then generate this profile page.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
people just could change, because I checked now, well, first of all, you know that not all URLs were active.
Yeah.
And then in the profile page, you also have some links to, like, I don't remember now, checked today, but forgot all the fields. But, well, anyway, people could easily change it here and then just automatically can generate HTMLs and then just have them on the website. And it will be really, well, I think we could, if we decide to make this system, we can get as much, make it as useful as possible. So it's just, it's just an idea, so we just draft it and then we see what we can make of it. Action point three, so Secretariat to find some time on the Beijing agenda to discuss the election issues.
I have deliberately not updated the agenda yet, but that's because we're still waiting to hear from the GAC whether they want to meet or not, because then I know more how much spare time we have if I need to cut out time from any others. So I hope next week that I will have it up. But I mean, I will get you time. I just wonder how many minutes do we say? So 10 or 15 minutes?
10, 15, not more. 10,
okay. Yeah, so it's I have it on my list, and I know it. We have other stuff I need to update with, but it all depends on the GAC meeting.
Okay, thank you. Action 4, so we have a double room. shall we need it for the next call as well, I think? Yeah, maybe you could set it up for the next call as well. Thank you. Action 5. So as Bart requested during the last call, I sent a current list of relevant issues that would need, perhaps would need changes in the bylaws and other documents. And, well, that's what we're talking about. We started, actually, talking about threshold. I don't know if you had time to look at these additional issues. As you remember, we are going to submit this to the council for further discussions as additional document to our main document about problems with the current voting system. So here we have, first of all, regions. Should we keep regions as we have them now? Should we have 18 councillors, and how should we ensure? How would we ensure that they represent the community? So there's about representation, geographical diversity, and other things. Activity of that's about threshold activity of current. Members. So maybe we should. This is activity of current members is very closely related to the issue of threshold, and another issue raised by Keith: size of the registry versus votes. So I haven't planned to have much discussion about this document now. Perhaps we just could do some quick exchange of ideas. What do you think? What are your immediate ideas? What do you think is missing here? How should we proceed with this document? And so on. So, Yangam? Keith?
Okay, I've got a couple of issues here, or actually only really one, which I think is missing. I think the words you've caught here are really good. The only issue I think missing is you know, the idea that someone could actually represent a region anyway. I mean, it might be that in South America you might have more, or in Europe you might have more common interests across the region, but in say, Asia-Pacific region, there's very different commonality between, you know, a country of 900 people versus a country of 1.2 billion people, or a capitalist country versus a communist country, or so on. So that the fact that you've got this enormous diversity, one representative from one country will have a very different representation model to another representative from another country. So the idea that you could represent a regional view just seems a bit strange to me as well. It's sort of utopian rather than pragmatically actually able to be done.
Okay, and how would could be reflected in the document?
Don't make it my problem. I don't know. I don't know that I could easily put a sentence or two around that.
We do not have to propose solutions here. We just point out problems that we identify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a question of what are the needs of a region for regional representation? That might be the question that you're asking. Or what is the importance of regional representation?
May I ask you to go through this document, Additional Issues, version 1,
yep,
and write down your comments, your proposals, and
yep,
just work with this particular document and just
yep,
send us another version of it.
Okay.
Is it okay with you? Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yangam?
Yes?
Do you have any ideas now, or you just need some time? Or we wait for
I was actually cut off for a while. I was actually cut off for a while, and I had to redial in. So I'm just barely catching up.
Yeah, okay. So we're now talking about this additional relevant issues we identify, not directly related to the our main task, to try to identify problems with current election process, but we look more globally. So now we've looked at this document, and Keith kind of volunteered to update and work and just propose changes to the document, Additional Issues, version 1, I sent a week ago.
Right. So from what I understand, Keith was proposing to discuss the issue of regional representation, right?
Well, in
is that correct?
Well, sort of correct. It's more questioning the appropriateness of the regional approach or regional representation. Let me work on the words for that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, as for any other issues, I haven't actually thought of any other issues, but I do fully agree with what Keith is saying regarding the regional representation in regard to the fact that some regions are overrepresented and some regions are not. And so I think that's something that we should really look into. But I don't have any other additional issues that I would like to raise.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll just wait perhaps for the next version of the document. Okay. Continue our discussion. What do I have here? I think that's it from me at the moment. Any other business, any other ideas, any other proposals, how we proceed?
Katrina, I have more of a question.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm just wondering, would you like some time? You will have some time during the council call, the upcoming one on the 12th of March. do you wish to present, you know, if we agree on the list of additional issues, do you wish to present it then, or will you want to wait?
As I told you, I think you already noted my apologies for the next council call.
Oh, yes, I did. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
I won't be there, but I'll write a report of what we're doing. I think we'll, anyway, it's better that we have it more, discuss it more within the group with Keith's additions to the document. And I think we need some more time.
Mm-hmm.
So just to sum up, first of all, I will update the document with our priorities regarding current voting system. Then Keith will have his version of the additional issues document. I think we must think about ways how to make how to change the system and obviously we do not have support from ICANN's technical department. That's perhaps is the most painful thing, but we will just go on and hopefully everything will get solved in the right time. So that's a short summary from me. Any other comments?
This is Yang. I'm just wondering if we can kind of get a sense of whether there have been any objections as to some CCs claiming that they have not received the ballots or any problems regarding that aspect, because I think that's where we could start trying to find solutions.
What's the question? It was something about the ballots that they claim they did not receive, but I didn't hear the beginning.
Oh, that's what I meant. I mean, that's. I think we should kind of try to get a sense of how many claims there have been.
That is actually quite hard as well to track, because very often they say they did not receive the ballot, and then when I send the technical report, they find it. So I cannot keep track, because then many of them get found again, or, you know, whatever, or they found it in the spam filter or whatever. So it's really hard. I get more claims than actually, in many cases, they do get found. So,
Okay. Any other comments?
Nothing from me.
One more thing. I think we should also try to discuss mechanisms of maybe making sure that everyone kind of gets the message, or a PR kind of a mechanism that we can try to use to enhance the fact that enhance the awareness of the CCs regarding the fact that there is going to be an election on a certain issue. So I think that, I mean, besides the fact that we deal with the basic mechanisms or the technicalities of the things, I think we should also try to find ways of proactively in encouraging more awareness.
I agree with you. I just have two remarks here. First, we cannot ensure that people receive their emails, for example. Yeah, it's just impossible, mm-hmm. I think. But that's why, I think that one of the solutions is not to send them emails, but to give them a website where they can go and log in and do whatever they want with their ballots. That's one thing. But the second is regarding the awareness raising. That's what we initially thought about, having some infographs showing what to do to change your primary contact, what to do to vote, what to do, mm-hmm. and then that's something that we also must do, and absolutely agree with you, because we must give people possibility to understand by explaining in simple terms and
right.
Okay, Yang Eun, can I just ask something? I mean, there are always people that still don't really care, because we've been, maybe not in a very, you know, professional way, but we have been trying to raise awareness. For instance, now we ask people to check their primary contact address, and I think maybe we sent out the reminder now, but we maybe had 10 people asking for their primary contact, and I don't think any of them actually had the incorrect primary contact.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this could probably be done in a more professional way or something, but I don't think that people that don't care, I don't think that they will, you know, care more just because we make something raise even more awareness.
Right, I fully understand what you're saying, Gabby, but maybe we can make like a general announcement to the ICANN community, to all the ICANN community, and maybe hope that some of the CC people will get the news from other sources. So, I mean, not just within the CC or I mean, not just being confined within the CC or the CC contact list.
I'm not against raising awareness. We've been trying, we very often use the regional, I can see regional liaisons with much success, I'd say, and especially Asia Pacific and Africa. We had a lot of help from them, so I think that could be another source. But still, I don't think we should trust awareness raising too much, because it helps, but maybe not as much as you would like.
Right. I mean, I fully agree with you on that, Gabby. But I'm just thinking that may be an additional option that we could use to kind of raise. Maybe a bit more awareness, right? I'm not saying that would be a foolproof mechanism.
Well, it won't solve all the problems, but it certainly will help.
Okay.
So thank you very much for your ideas, Yangam. So any other comments?
Just to say, I'm just posting to you now to the larger group the desired amendments I had to the regions issues. So I've divided it into a number of sort of sub bullet points. So you'll have that in a few minutes, but let's not discuss it on the call. Just have a think about it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so if that's it, so thank you very much for joining the call. Thank you very much for your input. Let's work in the meantime, and see you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.